We continue today in a series on prayer, hopefully to do another sermon next week on prayer. There are several readings, and Psalm 33 I'll read first. Psalm 33 in your pew Bibles, chapter 33, verses 12 to 22. Happy is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom He has chosen as His heritage. The Lord looks down from heaven. He sees all humankind. From where He sits enthroned, He watches all the inhabitants of the earth, He who fashions the hearts of them all and observes all their deeds, His watchful eye. The king is not saved by his great army. The warrior is not delivered by his great strength. The war horse is a vain hope for victory, and by its great might it cannot save. Truly, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him and on those who hope in His steadfast love, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and shield. Our heart is glad in Him because we trust in His holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. And then I'm reading in the Gospel of John at chapter 8, beginning at verse 31, these words from the Lord to us. Verse 31, then Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in Him, if you continue in My word, you are truly My disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. They answered Him, we are descendants of Abraham, and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be free? Jesus answered them, very truly, I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent home in the household. The Son has a place there forever. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. Here ends the reading of God's word. Let us pray as we come to the message. O Lord, a simple prayer, and yet a complex prayer, we pray. For we ask you in this series of messages, teach us how to pray. For we do not know how to pray as we ought. And so come into our lives, O Lord, and speak to us. For your servants are here to listen. In Christ's name, amen. Prayer has always perplexed me a little bit. What are good prayers? What are bad prayers? What are realistic prayers? I remember as a child, I had been to Vacation Bible School, and one of my favorite verses at that time was Matthew 7, 7 to 11. Ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door will be opened. For he who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and he who knocks, the door will be open. For if any child asks a parent for bread, would he give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, would he give him a serpent? If you then know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more does your Heavenly Father know how to give good gifts to those who ask Him? I remember that from Vacation Bible School, and I treasured it. And yet, I remember near our home growing up, I think I was probably 9 years of age or so, my brother and I used to go up the road to a little country store, and there we would get maybe a Coca-Cola or Dr. Pepper and a moon pie or some peanuts. Sometimes we'd come back with a ice cream sandwich. Remember those? Those are great. They don't have any calories nowadays, ice cream sandwiches. Sometimes we get one of those push-up sherbet things, the push-up thing, you know. And I remember once mine went all the way up into the road. And I thought, oh, God, no. But on the way up to that little country store, we really passed some different kinds of homes than we realized. There were shacks, and one of the homes that seemed fairly neglected always had a dog on a chain and a collar, and there was a post there. And so every time we went to that country store, I was thinking about that dog. And one day when we went by, the chain was there, but the dog was gone. And I remember going up that road and seeing that dog was off the chain, and it was in the yard barking. And so we tried to go by without running. And I prayed, "Oh Lord, don't let that dog bite me." And that dog bit me several times. And so prayer has always puzzled me. And I can still show you the bites, by the way. I've got those. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. We have affirmed in recent weeks in this series about prayer that to pray, first and foremost, is to acknowledge our dependence upon God. The prophet Jeremiah, we remember those words we used, "You will find me when you seek me, if you seek me with all your heart." Sounds very much like Matthew 7. Those are great and comforting words. If you seek me, you will find me, if you seek me with all your heart. We also affirm that one of the very best prayers you can pray when you feel in trouble or the world has just gotten you down is help. Help. I prayed help that day. Help. Help me, God. That's a good prayer at any stage of life. Coming to God for guidance is to discover and to nurture a relationship with Jesus Christ, God's Son. That's what prayer is about, nurturing that relationship with Jesus Christ. All of us need help. All of us need God in life. All of us need Jesus. And so I want to strongly suggest to you today in this message that when you pray, prayer can be more than just a cry for help in an emergency. I submit to you that when you pray, praying is a strong declaration of your faith. I believe, and so I pray. I believe, and so I pray. When we celebrate July the 4th, just the other day, we celebrated freedom. The men and women who declared their independence from Britain through the Declaration of Independence, they announced their determination to be free from outside control, to be free to make their own laws, to be free to choose their own government, to be free to raise their own taxes or lower them through representation, the freedom to be a nation among nation. And we still debate, do we not, taxes and laws, and sometimes we don't seem to accomplish very much, but it's our freedom to govern in this fashion. 13 colonies dared to announce their intention to break away from the mother country, from Great Britain. The Declaration of Independence then is our nation's birth certificate. And this past Thursday, we were able to celebrate 243 years of independence as a nation. A Declaration of Independence. However, we are very quick to forget that our forebears only announced independence from Britain. But when they did that, they also declared faith in God. They prayed. I'm sure they prayed before they picked up the pen and signed that declaration. I'm sure they prayed expecting great things. I'm sure they prayed for freedom, for protection, for God's help, and to be a light to shine out to others. The declaration, you see, then was not just a gesture of rebellion, but an affirmation of what they believed. They believed that God had given us as a people inalienable rights, right? They signed that declaration using these words, "with firm reliance on the protection of divine providence." Divine providence. Divine providence is at work in our land. It's at work in your life and in mine. Prayer, then, is a declaration of our faith, of your faith. and a God who is trustworthy. Prayer, you see, can be much more than just a cry for help. And so, as American Christians, how do we keep faith today with the faith of our forebears who believed in divine guidance? Do you believe that? Do you believe that your life is divinely guided? Yes, you have choices, you have freedom, but do you believe that God's watchful eye is upon you? If you believe that, then I would encourage you to pray and declare your faith. Let me mention several ways to do that. First, we affirm when we pray that true freedom requires loyalty. Our prayers represent loyalty to a higher power, that we cannot accomplish things on our own without divine guidance and help. There is a power that is greater than we ourselves, and we acknowledge that when we pray. We acknowledge a higher authority. A ship, for example, is not free if it does not follow a compass, if it does not follow the North Star, but it heads out in any direction she chooses. Such a ship will eventually flounder on the rocks. And here's why. It's a paradox. Freedom without a fixed discipline leads to chaos. And so one of the fixed needed disciplines in a Christian's life as a follower of Christ is prayer to help to guide us. And our sense of direction as Christians and as a nation, it comes from praying to God. The freedom won in America has been compared with the freedom won in France. Let me quote something for you. In France, liberty and freedom became license and brought on the reign of terror, and the end result in France was a dictator named Napoleon, who left all of Europe in ruins for 30 years. That was the result of their freedom. The same revolutionary freedom and spirit in America resulted in a new order in this country, a constitution and a democratic form of government, like it or not. But that's what it led to. Why the difference? It was because of the Pilgrims and the Puritans of New England, the Quakers of Pennsylvania, the Catholics in Maryland, and the Congregationalist and Presbyterian Christians who fled Europe and Britain and Ireland and came to the East Coast in pursuit of religious freedom. And they came and so America was founded on a strong foundation because God was given a place in the minds and hearts of people. It was important to all those groups that I mentioned and more. And so when we pray, we affirm, God, you have a place in my mind and in my heart. And so I'm open to you. I adore you. I confess all that I've done wrong before you. I give you thanks. I ask for you to supply me with all that I need, and I pray for others. But I give you a place in my heart and mind when I pray. I declare my faith in you. Prayer, then, you see, it's that declaration of one's faith in God, like the declaration of faith founded God as a strong rock for this nation. Secondly, we are called to be brave and bold as we come to make our request to God in prayer. In the traditional services, I'm apt to pray when I do the morning prayers of the people. It leads to the Lord's Prayer, and usually that segue I make is, and now, Lord, teach us as we are bold to pray the prayer our Lord Jesus Christ has taught us. And I mean that. Those are bold words when you look at the Lord's Prayer. And I think we have to be brave to pray those. Give us our daily bread. Give us everything we need. Help us in the time of trial. Help me to be brave. Let me boldly take steps into the future. The signers of the Declaration, they were brave hearts. They knew they had their necks in a noose if the colonies lost the war. Here's what they wrote. With firm reliance upon the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Upon reliance of protection of divine providence. Many of them paid a huge price 5 of the signers of the Declaration of Independence, they were captured by the British and they were imprisoned, 5 of them. 12 of them had their homes pillaged and burned, and most of them were ruined financially. But they dared to pay the price for freedom, founded upon God. And they understood what the psalmist said here. Truly the eye of the Lord is on those whose hope is in His steadfast love. Is your hope in God's steadfast love? They believe that. And as we join together this morning in this sacrament, let's remember there was this heroic character of Jesus Christ who went to the cross and paid the debt of our sin for our salvation. He did not turn from God's will. And we need more heroes of faith if we are to be faithful in our time, just like our forebears were. And finally, to be true to our faith, thirdly, and to those who have gone before us, we need to see God's vision of the world, not just our pinched vision, but God's vision. Think about this. A group of people from 13 very different colonies came together and for the first time began to see themselves not as Pennsylvanians or New Yorkers, but they saw the wonder of a new nation knit together under God. That's what they saw, that unity. It was the start of E Pluribus Unum, which literally means out of many, one. And so it's a great miracle with all the diversity we have as a nation, that we have as a people, that we, under the providence and protection of God, that we have still created and maintained by the grace of God a United States. We need to continue to pray that it stays united. Always to be a light to others. We pray today then for our nation, but we do more than that. We do more than that. We don't stop there. For our task under God's watchful eye, if you read that psalm carefully at the beginning, is not just to pray for America, not just for a national goal of unity, but to pray for international unity. That's what's needed. God's watchful eye is over all. The cross on our Christian flag and the crosses in our churches across this nation and in the cemeteries in this nation across the land, they are more than just national symbols. The cross of Jesus Christ and the sacrament we are about to celebrate is a moment that we recognize all nations. For God's love is for all people. When we repeat, and we sometimes do in this service and pray the Lord's Prayer, we don't say our American Father, do we? We say our Father. And this means all countries. Our prayers should always envision and celebrate the love of God for the whole world that His Son came to save. And in our own private prayers, I believe that when we pray for others, when we pray for our world, I believe God smiles in approval every time because God thinks you get it. You just get it when you pray for others and you pray for everyone in the world. Because God hears that we then truly understand that we are all brothers and sisters who dwell under God's watchful care. And with that, let's pray as we come to the sacrament. O Lord and our God, as we come to this meal, remind us that Your love is a love for all people. We do pray for our nation. We pray for its leaders and those who govern, that laws may be enacted to give all proper freedoms and care. Oh Lord, we pray for our nation and for its unity and for all those who serve to protect those freedoms. We also pray to You as the Lord of all nations. May Your watchful eye be among all people in every land. For this is our prayer as we come to celebrate the sacrifice of Your Son, Jesus Christ, and remember Him at this table and the freedom that we have because of His blood shed for us. Amen.